My wife, Gail, we've had the privilege of serving Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge for over 40 years now. We started with one facility in New Orleans and have since grown to 8 across our state. We have 5 for men, 3 for women. In one of the women's facilities, the ladies are able to come in either pregnant and or with children. We're very blessed to be able to offer that.
We have been able to experience serving in this ministry for over 40 years, and I'm excited to be able to share with you what we get to experience on a daily basis.
I was in addiction for 15 years. I lost my kids in foster care. I went through a divorce. I was destroyed by drugs and the bad decisions in my life.
After about 20 years of addiction, in and out of prison, my daughter looked me in my face with tears running down her eyes. Said, "I don't want you to die, Mom. I don't want you to die." And I still had to shoot up. I couldn't stop.
I lost my son in a tragic house fire. And that was at that moment that I knew that I needed to change and I needed something bigger than me to help me.
I struggled with a meth addiction that just destroyed my life in such a short amount of time.
I was addicted to prescription pills and spent about 15 years just fighting for my life in this addiction that almost took me out.
It was like a horror movie, and I saw the people that I was hurting, my children that I was neglecting. I was strung out on crystal meth, crack cocaine.
I had a little girl at the end of my addiction, and I wound up going to prison when she was 3.
Spent many years in addiction, grew up in a broken home, spent a lot of time in and out of jails, different programs, and Christ finally got a hold of me, and I made my way to Teen Challenge.
God used Teen Challenge to help facilitate what he had already done in my life. Because he's the author of our change. Teen Challenge can't change a life, but Teen Challenge can be there to help facilitate God's grace, and that's what they did.
God brought me to a point in my life where I had to surrender everything, and in that, I found my way to Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge.
Went through the program, God started to transform my life, and it was there that I met my lovely wife, Hannah. I've been here ever since. Now I serve as the program director for the Lafayette Men's Campus.
This place had people with substance, and they, if they said it, they did it. And I remember thinking, this is the first thing in my life I've found that has substance, and now I know it's because they stood on the truth of the gospel.
God has been restoring my family to me little by little, and I just know it's by his grace and his mercy that I'm still here, and I just feel like a completely different person. God's transformed me physically, mentally, and spiritually.
I just graduated LSU with my bachelor's in social work. I just feel like God has called me to help kids that were like me.
God slowly but surely started putting my life back together. I have full custody of my kids. I've been sober now for plus 2 years. I have a full-time job, I have a home, I have a vehicle, a driver's license, a GED. I have everything that I never had before, and it wasn't until I came to Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge and God changed my life.
Past graduation and my daughter moved back in with me. It was her decision and my family's decision. They were just so blown away by what God had done in my life that they knew it was time for her to come home.
I'm participating in the Next Steps at Our Savior's Church in Opelousas. God's just doing miraculous things in my life, and I just couldn't be more grateful.
One word to describe my life since Louisiana Teen Challenge is restored.
And unbelievable.
Fulfilling.
Whole and complete.
Good morning, everyone. How y'all doing today? God is great, right? About to give y'all my testimony. I'm Thomas Ankar. I'm 28 years old. I'm from my hometown is Port Sulphur, Louisiana. I was a drug addict and a sex addict before I came to Teen Challenge. I sold drugs just to get females' attention. I was actually preying on them. After high school, my life turned completely upside down. I actually caught my first felony charge for simple burglary. Then I would do drugs to escape the fear and pain that I was going to do some serious time in prison. Just seeing my dad, supposed to be my father figure, keep using and choosing his friends. Choosing his friends over me, his only son, just made me so angry at the world, like why I'm here in the first place. And many, many nights, I cried and cried. I would do drugs to avoid that pain that my father really didn't love me. I even caught my second felony with possession with intent to distribute and flight from the officer. And all I really could think about was I'm becoming more and more like my father. He did 14 years in jail and hunts, so I didn't have that father figure to guide and love me right. When he came home, it's like I'm not even there, so our relationship was broken, especially when he chose drugs with his friends than to be with me, his only son. My family, my mom, and my grandmother brought me to Teen Challenge because they knew I needed help. I was selling drugs, doing drugs every day just to keep money in my pockets. I lost my job. I chose the option to hustle. I got lazy. I gave up on myself. I was just living day by day, either selling drugs, trading drugs, or using drugs. So I really wanted change because nothing was working out for me. I was really at my lowest ever. Never had money, can't get what I wanted, always begging, so that didn't feel right for me. So instead of just wasting time and doing drugs, pushing everything back like court dates, I just wanted to change for myself. So I had a deep talk with myself and was like, I can't live. I can't live like this. I can't live like this anymore. Sorry, y'all. I don't want to end up dead or in jail for the rest of my life. So I called my mom and grandmother and told them I was ready for change and to leave everything behind. I'm ready to go to Teen Challenge for a better life, to be a better person for my kids if I have them someday, or a family. Ever since I've been in Teen Challenge, I've been more at peace and loving. God is definitely transforming me right now at this moment. My thoughts are different. My habits are different. Actually, great habits at that. Being in the Bible and stuff. Thank God. You know, being around other Christians has helped me. Growing to a man of God. Going to church events, helping other people out, is actually growing my roots even more to be a man of God. I'm thankful for everything God is doing right now in my life. Right now, ever since I've been at Teen Challenge. I'm being more patient, more obedient, more loving because I don't feel alone. Yes, I have more hope, peace, joy for now and for my future. My plans in the future is to disciple other men or women from my learning experiences from Teen Challenges and other ministries. My favorite scripture is Joel 2:25. I will give you back what you lost to the locust. It was I who sent this great army against you. That's it. Thanks, Teen Challenge. All right. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Jaden Hebert, and I'm 20 years old. I grew up back and forth between Baton Rouge and Gonzales. My parents were never married, so I grew up in two different households, but they did a good job co-parenting me. You know, they loved me. They did the best they could for me. I never went without food or clothing, you know. I was living a real good life. Things started to change when I was about 11 years old. My mom's alcoholism started getting real bad. I watched her go in and out of rehab, and I watched her drink her life away. When I was 13, I was just lost. You know, I didn't know what to do with the pain I had. I stopped talking to my mom. Out of desperation, nobody in my family knew what to do, so I lived with my dad, and I began smoking weed, you know, going out. That quickly developed from a once-in-a-while thing to at 14, I was smoking every day, sneaking out every night, selling vapes, selling whatever I can to make money to get high. When I was 15, I lost my mom. She ended up passing, and, you know, it rocked my world. I was so lost. I had so much pain, you know, and I didn't know what to do. I began using pills. I was selling pills, still sneaking out every night. And from 15 to 19, I lived a horrible life. I got deeper and deeper in bondage and addiction. I hurt many people. You know, I overdosed. I got hit with Narcan 3 times to be revived. I've been shot at a handful of times in Baton Rouge. When I was 16, I got pistol whipped. You know, my nose is broken, hanging off my face. And, you know, you would think that would make you want to wake up. But I was lost. I had a veil over my head. I couldn't see. You know, I couldn't see anything. But thankfully, Christ came and he removed that veil from me. So, you know, I realized the only reason I'm here is because, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, you know, God has plans to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. So in his plan, he had to sit me down and put me in jail for me to do a little bit of reflection. While I was in jail, you know, we pleaded the judge that I could be allowed to go to treatment. I was denied treatment twice. They said, no, you're going to prison. You know, you're not eligible for treatment. But God made the way. He softened my judge's heart, and the judge allowed me to come to Teen Challenge, and my life has been radically changed. I used to be numb, but God replaced my heart of stone. He gave me a heart of flesh. Amen. Actually, at the I'm actually an intern right now, and at the Mount Grace Men's Chapel, I cried for the first time since my mom died. You know, just thinking what God had brought me out of. You know, I have a new heart. I have compassion for others. You know, man, I love these guys, man. I have the love of Christ in me, and it's flowing out of me. Man, I had no idea what the Holy Spirit was, and now I'm doing my best to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, you know, follow his leading in my life. And, man, I'm extremely thankful to be here. You know, God's put me in this place where I get to minister to these guys. I get to minister to my family, you know. Some of my family believe, some of them don't. But when I went home for Thanksgiving, we was all at that dinner table, and it was powerful, you know, to see my cousins just They're looking at me, they're listening, because they know, you know, they know where I was at. But also at the center, we're able to give away food sometimes, and every time if I give you a sandwich, I'm praying for you. You know, they know that, so it's a powerful thing. But I have unshakable joy, you know, understanding Romans 5:11, that we can rejoice in our new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God. And I meditate on James 1:18 daily. It says that we, out of all creation, became God's prized possession. And that's a beautiful, powerful thing. It would be ignorant for me to not believe I'm standing here because of grandparents, aunts, friends of aunts, churches, their prayers for me. You know what I mean? I walked through the fire, not because anything I did, but because their prayers brought God with me. You know, so I would just encourage you, you know, man, I'm living it out. You know, I'm walking in the freedom that 1 Peter 4:2 illustrates. It says, you won't spend the rest of your lives trying to satisfy your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. And that's why I'm here interning. I'm anxious to do the will of God. Man, God has radically changed and restored my life. And I was so lost and so broken, you know. No one ever thought I could. So just please continue to pray for that loved one, that friend, whatever person the Holy Spirit put on your heart. You need to pray for them. We gave you the brochures, man. Give it to somebody, you know. Touch somebody. But it's just amazing being here. Actually, this week, five of our guys got baptized. You know? Some for the first time, some rebaptized, but God is good. And a verse I live on and I stand by is 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, abideth in faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Thank y'all so much.
family. Praise the Lord. My name is Perry Lepper. I'm 51 years old. I'm from Monroe, Louisiana. I'm the youngest of four. Both of my parents were abusive alcoholics. At age five, I was separated from my family. I was placed in an all-boys foster home. I was the youngest of eight boys. My foster parents were old-school Pentecostals, and we went to church every time the door was open. I learned about God, Jesus, and the Bible at a very early age. They told me at church that God loved me, but back in my foster home, they told me that I was there because nobody wanted me or loved me. So I was confused. Nobody ever came to visit me or called me. Nobody sent me Christmas or birthday presents, so I figured it was true that nobody loved me. So I wondered how God could love me if nobody else did. And besides, if God loved me, why would he allow the things that were happening to me to happen? When I was being beaten by my foster parents, I would always ask them, what did I do wrong? When it was over, I would go off by myself and cry. I'd go off by myself and cry, and I would ask God why he didn't love me. Finally, after 6 years of mental, physical, and sexual abuse, the foster home was closed. I was sent to live with my paternal grandmother in Florida. At first, all was well. Then I started getting picked on by other kids, and I started getting in trouble at school and at home. My grandmother sent me to so many therapists and group homes, so much that I ran away from home at 13. I didn't want to be somewhere where I wasn't wanted. I started drinking and drugging and running the streets. One night at a friend's house, I took a bunch of pills out of the medicine cabinet, drank a bunch of liquor, and woke up in a hospital on a lockdown psychiatric ward. After that, I was in and out of foster homes and other juvenile facilities. My life has remained this way since then, drinking and drugging and running the streets. I've done over 10 years in prison and over 20 different prisons, countless mental hospitals and drug rehabs. No matter where I was, I didn't fit in. No matter what I tried, it failed. For most of my life, I had to sleep with my shoes on because I never knew when I would have to wake up and run or fight for my life. Since coming to Louisiana, the Adult and Teen Challenge, I found a home where there is true love behind the leadership. A place where I fit in. I no longer get up every day chasing money, drugs, and women. I get up every day and I chase Jesus. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So if you or someone you know is battling with addiction, I encourage you to put down the pipes, bottles, straws, and spoons, and come join us and feast from these tables of love, peace, and joy that fill these rooms. Thank you, and God bless you and yours.
Can we give these guys one more hand? You know, I joke about this, but it's true. We don't tell them they're going to be singing in the choir when we talk to them about their induction process. We don't want to scare them. It's like, now that they're there, hey, by the way, we need to size you up for some black pants, get your white shirt. Wait, why? Well, we're going to go door to door. No, that's not true. Going to be singing in a choir. You ought to see the look on most of their faces. Like, you have got to be kidding me. So, you know, again, just for being, you know, at the most 3 months out of their mess, for them to be able to come up, stand in front of y'all, and share their story.
Yeah.
And just talk about the goodness of God, you know, that's powerful right there. Amen? So, you know, I have mentioned, and I don't say this, I'm not one to really give out flattering words. It's just not my personality. If it's not true, I just won't, you know, if it's bad, I just won't say anything. If it's good, then I'll say it. And we do really appreciate you, Pastor Rusty, for just being, you know, the friend of Teen Challenge that you are. the church that you'll have been. And you have been faithful to us over the years, and we deeply appreciate that. In one other way, and I think we have mentioned that since the last time we were here, also the last time we were here, but there's one way that you can partner with us, and it's also, it's in part a financial blessing to Teen Challenge, but now that we've done it for a number of years, it just really has turned out to be more of a blessing for the student and the student sponsor. For them to be able to get involved in a student's life. And we have that opportunity. We would like for you to consider. It's $35 a month, which, you know, if you start adding up your Starbucks or the times that you eat out, you know, in a month's time, you know, $35 is pretty easily going through. And if you maybe just curbed a little bit of that, then that $35 could go to Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge. So as I mentioned, it, you know, in part, and we do that statewide, you know, it is, you know, helps us financially, but the testimonies, you know, the guys the girls too, we have ladies back there as well. If you want to sponsor one of the ladies that's in the program in another, you know, part of the state, you're welcome to do that. But to be able to encourage a student, and again, we've done this for a number of years now, and we've gotten now an opportunity to get stories back that a student was just having a really bad day. And you can understand, you know, that a lot of these guys have been in their addiction for a number of years, and they've done a lot of wrong to their family, you know, undeserved wrong to their family. And mom and dad or wife are just not really quickly ready to come back into their corner, rightly so. No fault, you know, on their part at all. It's just, you know, human nature. It's just going to take a minute. And if these guys have been in 13 different treatment programs, their thinking is, what's different this time? Rightly so. I mean, that just makes sense. There's no fault there. So what I'm saying is their family's not real quick to get back in their corner. But the sponsors don't have all that garbage they're dealing with. Amen? It's a clean slate when they sponsor one of these students. So their approach to the student is fresh. It starts straight out with the love of Christ. Right. So we're getting testimonies back. The student was having a bad day, and that day they were considering leaving the program, they got a letter from their sponsor. Tell them how proud they are of them. You know, I know it could be difficult. You know, I know somewhat about the program. I know it can be difficult. I'm proud of you for hanging in there. And they didn't know what they were going through. But just those words help that student to push through that day. And most of us is, you know, responsible adults. We all have bad days, and we find out we push through that day, tomorrow's a lot better. Amen? Amen. And most of the time, that's the way it is for the students. They push through that bad day, and then the next day is better. Amen. So, and then the graduations, you're invited, you know, write as many letters, send them care packages, whatever you want to do. They're told you better write them back. You'll be getting a talk from Greg, and you find out you're not writing your sponsor back. But, you know, they get a chance to write back to you and just, you know, let you know what's going on in their life, what the Lord's doing in their life. And then graduations. This past graduation, we had six make all their five-hour trip to Dodson, Louisiana, to our chapel at the Men's Center where we do our graduations. We had six sponsors there that day because we have them stand up, and we want to give them honor. For doing that. So we had six sponsors there. And that, you know, any of y'all, you're not a sponsor or not, you want to come and be involved in a very powerful service, come to one of our Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenges graduations. You won't walk away the same. It's amazing. So anyway, this is just a way for you to be able to participate in the just a continuation of the students' growth and well-being. Amen? Yeah. And it ends up being a blessing for you as well. So we have a little testimony, another testimony, and I'm going to come back and wrap things up.
Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge is a private, nonprofit, one-year residential program that helps men and women who are struggling with addiction.
When I came here, I was broken, I was hopeless, I was addicted to heroin, I had a child that I didn't know how to take care of, and this ministry welcomed me with open arms, welcomed my daughter with open arms, and just showed me who Jesus was, and he's absolutely changed my life.
At Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge, we incorporate life skills training, work skills training, education, and many other things that make our program successful. Everything that we do here is for life transformation. About 9 out of 10 individuals who come into our program have absolutely no financial support, and it costs us over $2,000 a month just to house one person. Here at Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge, we have a broad range of social enterprises that our students and staff help to run, such as a coffee shop, a restaurant, commercial greenhouses, thrift store, donation boxes, a candle making business, and a pick your own blueberry orchard. Even with all of this, our students' program is only partially funded. We need student sponsorships, and that is where you come in.
So, I mean, I came here with not much of anything, you know, just me and my son. My sponsors, you know, supported me monthly and also sent me care packages. I certainly couldn't have done it without them. Teen Challenge introduced me to Jesus, and it has radically changed my life and the lives of my children and my whole family.
For only $35 a month, you can invest in a student's life. You will receive a packet that contains their testimony. You can write letters, send care packages, and you will receive a personal invitation to their graduation. This allows you to be vested in your student's recovery.
As a graduate of Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge 24 years ago, I had burned every bridge. Nobody trusted me. And if it wasn't for a couple in my life, I don't know where I would be. Here at Louisiana Adult and Teen Challenge, we need your help, much like the Thomases helped Amanda. And we'd like to encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to get involved with one of our students' lives by becoming a student sponsor. Thank you so much.
I'd like to just kind of tie this morning together with some scripture. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 11, where's Jaden? I thought he was going to start preaching my message. I said, you better stop. You know, I wasn't in 13 different treatment programs, which is very common for our guys that, you know, have some age on them. But I had tried to stop enough times to where I was discouraged at being able not being able to. You know, the mental hospital that I was sentenced to because of a charge didn't change me. The subsequent probation that I was placed on and the threat of going back to prison if I violated that didn't change me. A very beautiful, caring mother didn't change me. The pleading of a very loving, caring father didn't change me. And my own desire to be different didn't change me. At 13 years old, I drank my first full bottle of Boone's Farm wine, dating myself, puked my guts out, obviously, but unlike most normal people would be revolted by that experience, never wanting to repeat that again. Like the first time I put chew in my mouth, in my mind I put a roach in my mouth. And I spit that out and I never wanted to go back to it again. Now, to this day, I don't understand people that can put dip in it. I just, man. But you would think that alcohol would have done that to me, would have revolted me. That experience would have revolted me. I puked my guts out and at 13 years old, I fell in love with alcohol. And didn't stop till I was 20. In that hospital, I'm clinically diagnosed an alcoholic at 16 years old. But that was only, I had the exact same drinking pattern the year before. I just happened to be in front of a professional that had the ability to diagnose at 16. But I had the exact same drinking pattern the year before. So at 15 years old, I could have easily been diagnosed an alcoholic. Ate acid like it was Skittles. I'm a product of the 70s. Needles did not bother me. I welcomed the opportunity to be able to use it. Why am I saying all of this? Because I was not able to change myself. Society was not able to put enough pressure on me for me to change. A grieving, crying mother was not able to change me. Having to be woken up on a Christmas morning, one morning, and I don't even, to this day, I don't know what happened to me the night before, but I was in my bed. The custom was everybody gather at the top of the stairs. Mom and Dad's downstairs with the camera, you know, the old big old thing. Film was coming down the stairs. Greg Dill didn't show up. Where's Greg at? Had to go upstairs. I'm still passed out in my bed. Sheets bloody. I don't know what happened to me the night before. Mom crying over that incident. Still no change. So I said all that to say this. When I did make this commitment to Christ, I was concerned. I was concerned about it not working. My other attempts of just trying to say no, one of our past president's wives coined that phrase. Bless her heart, she meant well, but she didn't have a clue what she was talking about. If you're in full-blown addiction, you don't just say no. Amen. Great thought. I know she meant well, but totally inaccurate. It's not going to happen. You ain't going to just grit your teeth and say no. Maybe just starting to use, you can kind of turn yourself around. But when you step off into the deep end, there is no turning back on your own. You're not going to grit your teeth and say no. You might last a week. You might last 3 days. You might last 3 months. But it's going to come back. So I'm concerned. And I don't know if my mom will remember this, but early in my walk, I'm in Orleans Parish Prison. I had my come to Jesus moment. I said, Lord, if you're real, and if you can change my life, I want to be different. Amen. Not a whole lot of faith in that prayer, but God, thankfully, like that. You don't have to have the faith of Moses to be able to get saved. Amen? Amen. He saw the sincerity of my heart. Amen. Right. He knew Greg was serious about that prayer. Thank you, Lord, if you're real, and if you can change my life, amen, I want to be different. So I make that commitment, and most of you are kind of familiar with the probation process, going to court, you get arrested, and months can go by before you actually wind up in court. Well, I'm in that months go by period. But man, I'm serving the Lord. I'm walking that thing out as best as I can. And I don't know if my mom will remember this, but in a hallway upstairs, we crossed paths. And I said, Mom, why is it going to work this time? And she looked at me with the wisdom of a mother, and she, a spirit-filled mother, looked at me and said, did you incorporate Christ in any of your other attempts? Jesus, she said. Did you incorporate Jesus in any of your other attempts? And I thought for a minute, and it was no. I tried to not be in the circle when the joint was passed. Or I tried to just order Coke instead of Bacardi and Coke. Or I just tried to stay away from the heroin, made it, to the dealer. I would just avoid that phone call. I would do those things, but no, Christ was not involved. And she said, then she asked the same question, is Jesus involved in this decision? And I remember telling her, that's the only hope I have. Amen. And as she looked at me, she said, that's why this is going to work. Yeah. 45 years later, it's worked. Hallelujah. Yes. So I give you that backstory to this. So you understand, I'm concerned about not going back. I wanted to be different. I wanted to have a new life. I wanted a change to be affected in my life. I didn't want to go down the same road that I was going down. For me, it would have been death at a penitentiary. I had no aspiration. I was not a normal child. I really wasn't. I don't say that in jest. I didn't have any aspirations of having a good life. I didn't have any plans of college or a trade school to be able to be employed and have a good life and have a good... I didn't have any thoughts along those lines. God, yes. At all. Yes, amen.
Thank you, Father.
So I'm here. I am now. I'm concerned that I want this thing to work out. I want to have a good life. And God brought me to this scripture 45 years ago. Ezekiel chapter 11. Let's start at verse 17. Promise I'm tying things up. My introduction a lot of times is longer than the message. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. I will assemble you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered. For all of us, we were scattered. We were all over the place. We were in places we shouldn't be. And that's where the Israelites had found themselves, unfortunately, many times because of their disobedience. We were scattered. We were in places we shouldn't have been, but it was because of our own life choices. But thank God we don't get punished. Amen? When we ask to come to him, he takes us. We see that picture now. Where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. I'm going to take you out of that dark place, and I'm going to put you in the land of Israel. And just instead of making a series out of this, which probably could be made a very good series, exactly what does it mean to be taken and put into the land of Israel? I could see a six-part series coming out of that. But in general, I'm going to take you out of those dark places that your poor choices, your rebellion put you in those places. You got yourself into that spot. But the grace that I have for you, the love that I have for you, I'm going to take you out of that place, and I am going to bring you to the land of Israel. And just to make it real simple, I'm going to bring you to a place of blessing. I'm going to bring you to a place that what Scripture tells us is flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to bring you to a place where I'm just not going to fill your cup, Pastor Rusty. It is going to get full, and then it's going to spill over. That's full. That's having plenty. I'm going to bring you to that place. Then verse 18. And then they shall come thither, King James, love it. And they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. Take all of that bad stuff, throw it in a trash can. Amen. Go through your house. The Holy Spirit will point it out to you. Whether it's printed material, websites, boxes with little white sticks in it. God will lead you to that stuff. Throw it away. Throw it away. Watch what happens. This whole thing is progressive. All we're going to do is at 17, 18, 19, and 20. That's all progressive. He's going to bring you to the place of land of Israel. 17. Get rid of all of that stuff that the Holy Spirit will put his finger on the things that he does not want in your life. Man, I knew that drugs and alcohol were a problem, and they were a huge problem in my life, obviously. I wish I was able to keep it. I ran my record one time, and it's really not even half as long as most of these guys got. But at the very bottom of my record, New Orleans Parish, the bottom of my record, at the very bottom, somebody took it upon themselves to write at the bottom, possible career criminal. Katrina took it away. It was in my desk in my office in New Orleans. and I lost it in Katrina. At the very possible career criminal. And if you know anything about the court system, if you get charged with habitual offender and get convicted for that, you're doing life and you're not getting any possibility of parole. They were setting me up for that. The judge sees all of that kind of stuff. Get rid of all those things. Drugs and alcohol, huge problem. But I'm saved. I'm speaking in tongues. But I'm getting from out of my car to the front of the church door smoking a cigarette. And the Holy Spirit said, it's time for that to go. Dude, I love to smoke. I love to smoke cigarettes. True story. True story. The psychiatrist in that mental hospital where I was told me I had an oral fixation. That I love to stick things in my mouth. But this highly skilled and educated and paid doctor's got this diagnosis. Oral fixation. I love to stick things in my mouth. And really today, you might catch me with a pin in my mouth or something like that. I don't know what it is. I just love to smoke. But I'm saying this, the Holy Spirit put his finger on there, and now it's like, Greg, are you serious about change? Are you not? Amen. Real stuff. So I said, all right, this one's tough. Like the drugs and alcohol wasn't. I gave you some of my history. Most of that, I'm going to say all of it because my mom's sitting here. Like that wasn't bad. Cigarettes. Oh, all right, Lord, I'm going to acknowledge that I hear you, which is the first step. Yes. Which is the first step.
Right.
I acknowledge that I hear you. But unless you come across with the power, it ain't happening.
You're right, brother. Holy Spirit. Yes.
Now, Teen Challenge was not giving me the option yet. I'm still in this court process I told you about. I hadn't seen a probation officer yet. I'm in a shipyard. I'm a ship fitter by trade. 65 cents per pack at the tool room. You put your money in. Some of you old school guys know. You put your money in and you pull that little knob.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Every single day, that thing, that machine sitting right there. Every single day, I got to go to the tool room for something. And that thing's sitting right there. Well, thank God. I won't give you the whole story. Time's sake. It finally took effect. Amen? It was not easy. But I tell these guys all the time, if y'all stop smoking because Teen Challenge tells y'all to smoke, guess what you're going to do when Teen Challenge ain't in front of y'all? You're going to smoke. The Holy Spirit's got to tell us. So that's where this verse 18, take away all the detestable things thereof and the abominations thereof from thence, from yourself.
Amen.
If you're serious, let the Holy Spirit put his finger on it. He will show you the things that he's not pleased with.
That's right.
And then thank God, and we're going to see this in just a second, none of this stuff depends on our ability. None of this stuff depends on our willpower. Oh, thank God. I mess up with the Holy Spirit helping me. Where would I be without him? Well, I know where I would be. There's no doubt. I seriously doubt I would still be here. I really do honestly say that. All right, verse 19. Here we go. We're laying this thing. And I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. Look at the ability. Think about what's actually happening here. This ain't a Sunday school story. This is not a fairy tale. This is reality. I, God speaking, the God of this universe, could preach hours on what does that actually mean. The God of this universe, the one who spoke and everything came into existence. That guy, that power, that entity, that person is going to reach into your heart, into your flesh. Scripture is telling us, I will take the stony heart. My heart was so stony that a mother's tears. Thank God I wasn't married yet. Thank God I didn't bring my children into my mess. Amen. But a mother's tears couldn't move me. Probation threat could not move me. My heart was such stone. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. God reaches. Does you want that thing to work out in your life? I did. I do. Still do. God will reach in. He will take that stony heart out. Just get rid of it. Just it'll go into the pit of nothing. Bottomless pit. Just get rid of it. Never to be seen again. Never to be troubled by it again. And once that stony heart is taken out and thrown away, in my mind's eye, when I first read this scripture many years ago, early in my walk, God brought me to this. In my mind's eye, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is what I saw. This is not in the scripture. This is Greg Dill. In my mind's eye, I saw God turn around, and it has a shelf, and it was a heart of flesh with my name on it, already prepared for me, already waiting for that moment, already many years waiting for that moment for Greg to say, I want to be different. Reached up on that shelf, took that heart of flesh, reached down, took it, reached down, reached into mine, and put it in me. Because of that, it brings us to verse 20. If you don't have a verse 18 and 19 experience, you cannot have a verse 20 experience. Not all scripture happens chronologically. These three do. I got a serious scholar that will check me at lunchtime if I'm wrong. I'm a little fearful when going out on this kind of ledge because I know I'm going to sit down next to him at lunch.
You're doing good, brother. You're doing good.
17, 18, and 19 has to happen before 20. But thank God there's a verse 20.
You're right, brother. Amen.
Now, after God takes that stone out, after he replaces it with the heart of flesh, verse 20 happens for us. That they may walk. In other words, if 17 and 18, 19 doesn't happen, verse 20 cannot happen. Verse 20 will not happen. You can have all the good intentions in the world, and that's why we fall back. Because our good intentions aren't enough. Once we cross that line into full-blown addiction, good intentions won't change us. Verse 20 will.
Yeah.
That they may walk in my statutes, my rules, and keep my ordinances and do them. Hallelujah. I was not capable of being a good person. It was not as I grew up with two parents, and I'm saying this with her sitting here. I'm saying this before the Lord. I think Gail can probably attest to this. We've been married for 43 years this summer. She's seen my family. She knows my for all of my life, I never saw my mother and my father ever have a loud word to each other. All of my life. That ain't natural. They might have had them behind closed doors, maybe where they should have kept it. But I promise you, we didn't grow up hearing my mother and my father have loud words with each other. There was no alcohol in our family. My dad had a problem, but he kept it outside the house until he got saved. Baptist, huh? Wednesday night church, Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning service, and you back Sunday night.
That's right.
Huh? Amen. Good Baptist upbringing. All of that. Didn't work for me. It wasn't until 17, 18, 19 happened for Greg. Amen. That 20 was able to happen. That they may walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances, and do them. Yeah.
Amen.
They shall be my people, and I will be their God.
Amen.
What a promise. The God of this universe actually wants to be my friend.
Amen.
The God of this universe actually wants to have control of Greg. Actually wants to make a way for Greg. I got convicted, man. Every guest speaker I've seen over the years that come to a church and speaks, they always have their family up on the screen, showing their wife and their beautiful kids and all of that. And I got convicted. This, I'm going to have that. Next service I have, I'm going to have that. I'm going to have my mug shot. And mine's so old, I actually have the plate that they hang around your neck. I look like Al Capone's henchman. Seriously, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have my mug shot, one of them, the only one I could find. That I had that thing around my neck. Here, and then I'm going to have my beautiful family. I got daughter-in-laws that are just drop-dead gorgeous. And guess what's happening? They're making gorgeous kids. I got gorgeous grandkids.
Thank you, Lord.
Why am I saying that? That none of that, none of that would have been my story if God hadn't decided to be my friend. Nothing I did. Nothing I did, nothing that I imagined, and my imagination was perverted. Nothing that I could imagine kept him from loving me. Kept him from, he knew everything. He knew every thought. There's things, and I have said this many times, that no one will ever know about. Things I purposely leave out of my test. There are things that I've done with no, but God is the only one that will ever know about it.
Amen.
That Greg, that 67-year-old, the one you're listening to right now is 45 years old. This guy right here is 67. That Greg, God still chose to be his friend.
Thank you, Lord.
God still chose to be merciful. God still chose to give him power to be different. I didn't lose out.
No.
Oh, you did too much. I'm sorry. If you just wouldn't have done this, you'd have been okay. No, you lost out. Not true.
Thank you, Lord.
Not true.
Amen.
If you're struggling, be encouraged by our testimonies. Amen. If you have somebody that you're praying for, someone that's out there still, be encouraged by our testimonies.
Amen, brother.
Be encouraged by the fact, and even, I may tell you, and I've said this many times, and I don't want to limit drugs and alcohol problems to the only problem that God would involve himself in. I'm talking about anything that's a problem for you. You might be working too much. You might be taking too much time away from your kids. That could be a problem that you need to have God intervene in. Amen? You might not be kind to your wife. You might have a bad attitude when you're talking. God needs to intervene in that situation. Amen? I'm only picking on the guys because I'm a guy. I know it go both ways. Anything that's a problem, anything that's life-controlling, anything that you're not happy with, guess what? God's putting that unhappiness in you.
Yeah.
It's called conviction. Let God intervene in any situation. And the message for us that is our message applies in all areas. God wants to intervene. God wants to be your friend. He wants to inject himself into whatever situation you may be in. He wants to do that. He wants to. And who better else to do it? Amen? I mean, a God that speaks and things come into existence, that's who I want in charge of my life. That's who I enjoy knowing is in charge of my life. Amen? Let's stand and let's close. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you, God. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time that you've allowed us to be here. Father, I just give honor, Pastor Rusty, Lord God, staff, wife, family, God, children. We give them honor, Lord God. Just thank you, Lord, for them adhering to the call that you've placed on their lives. Many years of dedication, faithful dedication, not just in the name of their church, but in reality, faithful. Thank you for them, Lord God. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, for us to share our testimony, to share our faith, God, to speak of Jesus. And his ability, his power. Thank you. And Father, I just pray, Lord, for anybody here today, Lord God, that's struggling themselves, Father. That maybe today's the day, Lord God, that it was a divine appointment that they were invited and they came. Maybe otherwise they wouldn't have. They've been invited many times and they didn't come, but today they came, Lord God. Divine calling, divine appointment, Lord God. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that their heart was challenged, Lord God, that you spoke to them, that you just gave them assurance that they also could change. They also could redirect the direction of their life, the course of their life, Lord God. And before I do go on, is there anybody here? I just want to be able to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you have not committed your life to Christ, and this has just been the morning you feel like, you know what, I have been resisting, but I'm not going to resist anymore. Amen. If that's you, just raise your hand. Let me know. I won't be able to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know we're going past our time just a little bit, Pastor Rusty, but if there's someone that you're praying for, we already know one. If there's someone that you're praying for, a family member, co-workers, family that they brought you in on, raise your hand, let me know. Yeah, I'm praying for somebody. There's somebody I have regularly been praying for. Amen. This is just an unfortunate state that we're all in. There's not any church that we go to that we won't have at least 50% of the hands go. It's just rich, poor, white, black, it does not make a bit of difference. Guess what I know? Prayers change. Amen? Prayers change. So this is what, in my mind's eye, many years ago when we first started doing, I mean like 40 years ago probably, in my mind's eye, I saw this. When we prayed the prayer, we're fixing to pray, that everybody we're praying for is on a timeline. And at the end of that timeline is the cross. You get that picture so far? So you've got 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, let's say 10 is the cross. Some of us, we weren't at 0. You know where I'm going. Minus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. No matter where that person is on that timeline, there's a scripture that says, to some he gives the gift of faith. And I'm not saying that because I'm some televangelist. I really have a strong dislike for them. I may have to get rebuked by God. I don't know. I'll have to grow in an area, maybe so. But right now, that's the way it is. I'm not saying that because I'm one of them. I'm saying this because it's true. I believe that God has given me a gift of faith to pray for your loved ones.
Amen.
Where two agree on a matter is touching it. What happens? They have it. They have it. Whatever you bind on earth will what? Be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed. So we're going to pray for your loved one. And God knows where they are on that timeline. Just for illustration's sake, if they are at 5 because you've been praying for them for a while now, and because of your prayers, the people, the community that you brought around you to pray for them, whatever, you guys have brought them to 5 level of conviction, 0, no conviction whatsoever. Can curse their mother out. And I just, when I do an interview and that adult child curses their mother out, I want to punch him in the mouth. And it's God that I haven't done it all these years. Seriously. For a child to be able to do that is next level. So anyway, 0 is where they can do something like that and not even think nothing of it. If they're at 0, after today, they're going to start to feel it. They're not going to show maybe the remorse, but in their heart, after today, if they're at that place, Pastor Rusty, after they are going to feel that Holy Ghost prick. Because our prayers this morning, we're going to do warfare, we're going to do battle, we're going to do some work. We're going to get them to that place where they at least feel that prick. Amen? Now, if they're already feeling that prick, they're at 5, our prayers this morning is going to move them to 5 to 6, 7. They're going to start feeling more uncomfortable. And if they're already at 8 and 9, those are the ones that we're going to hear testimonies from Pastor Ross. Look, that guy that you prayed for, his wife just called me up. He wants to come into the program. And I'm not trying to hype you up. I have got many stories come back to us. Parents get their phone number. Look, you won't remember me. There was a crowd of people that was praying at the altar. I know you won't remember me, but I hadn't heard from my child in months. And he finally called me and said, Mom, I want to come home. I want to be different. I'm finally ready to stop and end up in a program. I'm not saying that to hype. This is reality. I'm not that guy. I would not do that if it's not true. Let's pray. Father, you know who was represented when that hand went up, Lord God. Father, you know where they are. You know how far away they are from you. You know how close they are to coming to you. You know where they are, Lord God, in that timeline. But Father, we join our faith together, Lord God. I stand with that wife praying for her husband. I stand with that mother and father praying for their son or their daughter. I stand in agreement with that grandparent praying for that grandchild. I stand in agreement with them. There is no more experience that's your will than someone coming to the saving knowledge of your son. I know getting someone a job's your will. I know miraculous healing's your will. I know all of these good things that we can pray for is your will. And we can ask with confidence in those things, Lord God, when the time comes, when the need comes. But Father, there's nothing more your will than when we pray for a soul. Father, I believe the church has the ability to bind principalities and powers, and we take that authority, Lord God. We use that authority right now, Lord God, that we would bind principalities and powers, Lord God, that would try to hinder this individual from coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus. They would lie, that Father, they would lie to these people that their lifestyle can't be changed, that their lifestyle is permissible. I was born this way. I come against that lie in the name of Jesus. We bind that in the name of Jesus. Every thought that is of the devil, Lord God, we bind it in the name of Jesus. We render it powerless. Father, we loose your Holy Spirit upon these individuals. We trust, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will move in his office as convictor. For your scripture says that he will convince men of sin. That it won't be dad yelling, it won't be mom crying, it won't be the courts threatening, Lord God. But it will be the conviction of the Holy Spirit that will draw these individuals to you. It's the only thing that worked for us. Father, I know you're no respecter of persons. There is none better than another. There's not one you love or care for more than the other. You died for all of us. So, Father, we are just grateful that we have a supernatural God that can do a supernatural work in the ones that we're praying for, Lord. And Father, lastly, I just pray for the ones that did raise their hand, Lord God. I know their heart breaks, Lord God. I know they're troubled. Father, possibly angry, discouraged, Lord God. I understand all of that, Lord. And those are human responses to a bad situation, Lord God. But Father, I pray, Lord God, your scripture where it tells us to not grow weary in well-doing, supernaturally give them strength, Lord God. Let that mother continue to love that son, Father. Let that father not lose love for his daughter, Lord God. Father, they can't do anything. Maybe not to where they wouldn't just face consequences, but not lose their love for that child. That somehow, God, supernaturally, you'd keep that wife's love just able, Lord God, to hang on somewhat to her husband, God, while he's in his mess. And vice versa, if it's a husband praying for his wife. But Father, let them not grow weary in well-doing. Father, if some of them are still in for a number of months or years even, Lord God, unfortunately, let them not give up. Let them continue to pray day after day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Rusty. Thank you for letting us be here.